minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Getting ready for a big one here today as the Denver Broncos set to host the Indianapolis Colts on Thursday Night Football. Who better? Susan and Cheryl know he's coming. They know he's coming. They can see him coming down the aisle there, getting ready to jump into the ring. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos, our Broncos insider here. Nobody does it better than Zach. Zach, my man, it must win, right? I mean, this is just a colossal game for the Broncos at this stage in the season.
You know, with everything that's going on with the Colts, this is a very much should-win game. You know, I really look, when I look at the must wins, if the Broncos lose this one, then Monday night against the Chargers is unquestionably a must win game. So this one is as close as it gets, but I'm not going to say it's there just yet. But I mean, Brady, if the Broncos lose this one to a 1-2-1 Colts team, to a Colts team that has looked so bad outside of one game where somehow they beat the Chiefs and they don't have their best offensive player in Jonathan Taylor and they don't have their best defensive player in Shaquille Leonard, boy, it's going to be a rough 12 days until the Broncos play the Chargers.
Boy, and Zach, I mean, isn't it, it's kind of fair to say, if you can't find a way to win this game, playoffs are pretty distant, man. Playoffs are kind of out of everybody's mind. Now it's just, what can you, I mean, I know it's early in the season, but if you can't find a way, everything you just outlined, if you can't find a way to get this one done, then it's pretty scary times as a Broncos fan.
100% Brady, in a very depressing time since the Broncos have almost 2 weeks off until their next game. And you're absolutely right. If you can't beat the Colts and you weren't able to beat the Seahawks and you barely beat the Texans and you just squeezed by the 49ers, which may look like a better win now and moving forward than it did in the moment. But I mean, yeah, there's going to be a lot of questions just about if this team, not only, I think playoffs, like you said, is probably out the window, but is this team even going to have a winning record? What is this team going to look like? Is the offense going to wake up? Because, Brady, a lot of people here in Denver think the Broncos' offense is bad. The Colts have the worst offense in the NFL. So, I mean, that's just how bad it is with Indianapolis right now.
No Jonathan Taylor. Obviously, you outlined all the guys that they're going to be missing. That's a huge piece, one of the top running backs in the league. Let me ask you this on the Broncos side of it. I mean, who's feeling the pressure now for tonight, the rest of the season? Because every week we've had a narrative, a negative narrative about, okay, it's been Nathaniel Hackett, can't get the plays in, bad decision-making. Then it's Russell Wilson. Is he the guy that we thought he was? And then, of course, Melvin Gordon with the fumble, with fumble issues, but that severe fumble against the Raiders. Who's feeling it the most right now to get this right? Hackett, Russell, or Gordon? All three dudes, man. I mean, feeling the pressure, no doubt.
I mean, honestly, I would have said those three people are the ones feeling the pressure. And specifically, I mean, Melvin Gordon, five fumbles in his last five games dating back to the final game of last year. And if he has another one, six fumbles in six games. And on top of that, there's more pressure on him because the Broncos don't have Javonte Williams, because everything is going to be on him. And yes, the Broncos did bring in Latavius Murray, and they do have Mike Boone, but I expect tonight a heavy dose of Melvin Gordon, whether people like it or not. And this is really one more fumble from Melvin in the next couple of games, and you can't play him moving forward. So this is his last shot. But then also Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett, this offense, I think it's fair to give this offense about a month to start clicking. And you know what? We're about a month into the season, so now is when things need to start clicking. I'm not going to say they have to have a 30-point performance tonight because it's a short week. Russell's a little banged up. You don't have Javonte Williams, but you want to see some life, especially going against an average Colts defense. Score 20 points, and we'll be able to live until the Chargers game, but then that Chargers game, this offense really needs to pick up, because the offense has certainly been underwhelming, but I think it's also fair to give them a little bit of a break, but that break is certainly kind of ending right now.
What's been the issue, the main issue? I mean, we can talk about fumbles and, you know, offensive line struggles and such, but it's clunky right now. You look at the defense and you have an identity that was kind of busted up against the Raiders a little bit, but on the offensive side, I can't put my finger on it. I'm watching plays and you see things roll out, and I don't understand what this offense is about. So what's been the issue here? Is it the offensive line not giving Russ enough time? Is Russ not being a quicker decision maker as far as when to move around in that pocket, when to take off? What is it that really stands out to you at this point?
Unfortunately, Brady, it's kind of everything. And kind of the bummer is an offense should have an identity, especially when you have Russell Wilson. Your offense should have an identity, and then that's what you point to when things don't work, like, oh, Russ isn't throwing for 300 yards a game, and this is supposed to be an air raid offense. Obviously, that's not the case here. But then you'd be pointing at Russ and saying, okay, is it the receivers? Is it Russ? Is it the offensive line? But this offense doesn't have an identity yet, and I think the identity is kind of getting crushed without having Javonte Williams, and then the offensive line isn't doing a great job in the run, and certainly the pass game. And what the coaches point to, and unfortunately it's a storyline we've heard for many, many years, is too many negative plays. Too many plays that hurt us on first and second down, so that when third down comes around, it's just too hard. And what that means is just too many penalties, too many poor play calls to set up some poor plays, too many blown assignments on the offensive line. And really, the offensive line has been okay the first 3 weeks. Obviously, against the Raiders, the offensive line was abysmal. But it's you can't just put it on the offensive line, which, Brady, is unfortunate. You wish you could point to one thing and say that's what's going wrong, but you can't, unfortunately.
What about the tight end situation, Zach?
No.
That's been one. Okay, Eric Saubert has had some flashes as far as a receiving tight end. Albert O, is even on the team. I don't even know what's going on with Albert O. Greg Dulcich, when will he make an appearance? All of that. What's happening? And I know Russ typically isn't a tight end guy. I sure thought that was going to change this season with this kind of different offense than what he was seeing in Seattle.
Yeah, the best way to describe the Broncos tight ends right now is non-existent, Brady. And that is very unfortunate, because the Broncos, they didn't have one guy that they were going to rely on this year, but they had like four guys, and you thought they were going to get enough out of him. I don't think anyone was looking at him and saying that Albert O was going to be a 1,000-yard guy. It was really going to be the receivers and then the tight ends as a complement, and they have not been a complement. Albert O had one snap against the Raiders. That just shows you where they view him and where he is. I expect to see him a little bit more tonight, but certainly not someone they're going to rely on, and especially with just the receiver position getting dinged up. Jerry's hurt for a game, comes back, isn't his full self in week three. He looked better in week four, but that's when you really expected, okay, now you're going to finally see the tight ends, and we just haven't seen it yet. And it's you can point to everyone. Eric Tomlinson, supposed to be a blocker, has not looked that good. Albert O, he's supposed to be a better blocker, more of an all-around tight end than he was last year. That certainly has not been the case, so he's not seeing the field. And Eric Saubert, a lot of people thought he was going to be average. He's been below average. And I expect to see Greg Dulcich in a couple of weeks. He was able to come off the IR this week. But Greg Dulcich is a guy where every time the Broncos thought he was going to be doing something, it's always just been a couple of weeks later. So I'm not even set that he's going to be back Monday night against the Chargers.
I wanted to ask you about Andrew Beck, too. You see him, the first 2 weeks, we got a decent dose of Andrew Beck, and you're starting to see teams, a couple, utilize the fullback a little bit more. Do you think with the situation with the tight ends, injuries to the running back, Andrew Beck could kind of be an under-the-radar guy that comes out as a positive in all of this?
Man, it certainly looked like that in week one, and
right,
then he's been non-existent, except one thing he did do was that touchdown run that Melvin Gordon had against the 49ers. He was in there as a lead blocker. That's where I really expect the Broncos to start leaning on him more, because when the Broncos have gotten the red zone up until that game, they've been going shotgun. They've been throwing the ball 17 times compared to only four runs. And then they said that time when they got in, okay, we're just going to play our ball, go big on the offensive line, and put a fullback in there. And Andrew Beck did a great job picking up a block in order for Melvin to score. So that's really where I see his role extending. You love the ability of him to come out of the backfield and catch one or two a game, but I don't see them really using him in that tight end role to save the tight end group.
With Melvin Gordon, it's just so interesting, and I tweeted this out. I wish the guy was more of a jerk, because it's easier to be critical, but he's not, you know, emotional and all of that. But at the end of the day, they're pros. They're making a lot of money to do this. The tough part with Gordon, take the fumbles out, And he's a really good running back. I'm not going to say he's one of the best running backs in the league, but he's a really good running back. He can catch out of the backfield. I guess his blocking's all right. So if he can get the fumble solved, this is not a bad starting quarter running back when you lose Javonte Williams. I mean, before the season, if you would have told me that was the case, I'd have said, okay, Melvin's fine. I'm good with that. But the fumbles have become much worse these last four games than we've seen. And he's been a fumbler, but they've obviously escalated to danger zone here in these first four games for Gordon.
You're spot on with all of that, Brady. And that really is the toughest thing is people are like, oh, you got to cut Melvin Gordon. He can't play. Certainly, if Javonte Williams was still healthy, I wouldn't be surprised if Melvin Gordon was inactive tonight to kind of just let him take a step back. Clearly, the fumbling is so in his head right now. I think taking a week or two off would probably benefit him, not necessarily as a punishment, although fans would like to view it as a punishment, but more just the, okay, you just got to take a step back. You have fumbling issues in the past, but this is just on a different level. The Broncos don't have that luxury now with Javonte Williams. And you nailed it. Melvin Gordon is a really good running back. He's good in pass protection. He's good catching the ball out of the backfield. And he really is a good runner, specifically when it comes to third down, specifically when it comes to the red zone. But you just can't fumble. You can't do that. And one of the things, and where Melvin really gets caught with the fumbling, is when he's fighting for extra yards. That's when defenders come in and rip the ball out, and he's not the best at hanging on to it. So you know what? The Broncos have actually told him this week, which is just so crazy it's gotten to this point. They've said, Melvin, instead of fighting for those extra yards, if you think that ball may come out, if you think that more guys are coming over in order to pull that ball out, you just got to get down.
Wow.
Don't fight for the extra yards. Take 3 or 4 yards. Instead of trying to turn it into 6 or 7. But you know what? Especially this week, especially these next couple of weeks when he's still trying to kind of get through the yips of fumbling, that's what he's got to do. And if Melvin Gordon's averaging 3.5 yards per carry but no fumbles, unfortunately, I'll take it right now. That's just where we're at. Instead of trying for 5 or 6 yards per carry but a fumble here, you can't do that. This is when it also really gets put on Russell Wilson. Okay, you have to take the game over now. We're not going to abandon the run, but we're not going to rely on the running game to get us 150 yards a game. You have to take over.
Latavius Murray, how much of an impact will he make? How many carries, how many plays do you think he'll actually be involved in?
Tonight, not much, if at all. I do think he'll be active, kind of in an emergency situation. You may see a couple of runs from him, but I would really be surprised. Being 32 years old, playing in London this past week on a short week, it just does not add up for him to have a big role. However, especially depending on if Melvin Gordon fumbles, how he does tonight, I wouldn't be surprised if he has a big role against the Chargers in about 12 days from now. That's when I could really see him be a part of this team.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. On to the defensive side of the ball, Zach. Randy Gregory being out for a decent amount of time. Baron Browning, and rookie Nick Benito. I mean, there's some opportunities for those two guys. Benito was brought in, you and I talked about this in the offseason, to put pressure on Bradley Chubb. And I think Chubb's had a fine season so far. Maybe not a world-beating season just yet, but a fine season. What kind of opportunity is there, Baron Browning, Nick Benito, for those two guys to... Well, obviously, we'll see Browning more, but how about Benito? Will we see him quite a bit tonight?
Yeah, that's one that I just can't get behind yet. The Broncos don't trust him yet, and that's not a big knock to Benito. It's hard, especially for this coaching staff, to trust rookies from knowing these guys. So I don't expect a huge role for Benito, even though he is one that seems like, okay, you're finally going to get your opportunity. You barely played any on defense this year. You look at Baron Browning and that backup role he's had. He has got a lot of snaps this year, so Benito's going to get that opportunity. I think it's just going to be even more on Baron Browning, and he's just going to have a huge opportunity to get in a groove, be the starter, play a lot. And you will see Benito more than you have because they are going to put him in to give some spell to Bradley Chubb and to Baron Browning. But for me, my expectations for Nick Benito are pretty darn low. He had a fantastic practice in joint practices against the Dallas Cowboys, but that's really all he's done. He had 2 sacks at the very end of a preseason game. going up against guys that aren't in the NFL anymore. So my expectations are very low for Nick Benito in this stretch.
This defense has been so good for the most part of the season, save for that first half against Seattle, and then just kind of wore down as Josh Jacobs got rolling for the Raiders. Josie Jewell, I thought 2 weeks ago he was a monster against San Francisco. He was everywhere. You got to have him. It kind of starts with him as far as stopping that run. Obviously, D-line, but I thought Josie just had such a nose for the ball and who had the ball against San Francisco. I'm really looking at him to be a difference maker tonight and, you know, for the foreseeable future.
And that's fair. They're paying him like it. $5.5 million for this year and next year. They're saying, we're not bringing you in to just be a fourth-round pick. We're paying you to be a really good linebacker. And, yeah, has he been hit or miss? That first game, he was absolutely tremendous. Picked up right where he left off last year, because before he got injured, he had a great game and a half at the start of the 2021 season. And then last week just did not look good, along with a lot of the defense. But you're absolutely right. If this team is going to be great against the pass on defense, but average to poor against the run, well, every team's just not going to throw to Pat Surtain. They're not going to have to try and test the secondary. They're just going to run the ball. And that's something that, even without Jonathan Taylor, I think the Colts are really going to try to expose. And we'll find out, is this Broncos defense, do they have a true weakness at the running against the run, or was that just a fluke? Now, we're not officially going to know after tonight, because the Colts, again, aren't very good. Their offensive line is in shambles. They're running back. They're missing their star. But tonight is a really good opportunity for the Broncos defense to have a bounce back.
Zach, last one for you, and going back just to Russell Wilson. Are you shocked at how the national media, maybe the local media, how he's kind of been perceived since becoming a Bronco? Like, my whole world is shattered. Russell Wilson with Seattle was like a superstar and amazing, yeah, and everybody loved him. Here in with the Broncos, I mean, my goodness, this guy is under the microscope every single week.
Yeah, you're 100%. And you know what, Brady? It reminds me of what you said about Melvin Gordon. You kind of wish that he, like, wasn't a good dude, Melvin or Russ, because then it would be like, okay, well, at least they're piling on someone that's not a good dude. Russell Wilson, he may be cheesy. He may be corny. There's no doubt about that. But he is a really good guy. And so it's like, why are people just taking stray shots at him all the time?
All the time.
Has Russell Wilson had a great season? No. Has he had a bad season? No. He hasn't, especially with the circumstances of this being his first month in a new system, with a new play caller, with a new head coach, with all new teammates, with a new surrounding. I think Russ has been just fine. But it is so weird that I think it started with the Let's Ride video that got out everyone across the country. We're talking about his former teammates in Seattle. We're talking about colleges making fun of him with his Let's Ride. It has been open season for Russ. And as long as he continues to just do what he's doing of being a good quarterback but not a great quarterback, and putting out, you know, the Subway commercials, which had come out in the past but was brought more to light last week. If he keeps doing that, unfortunately, he's just going to keep getting this. But if he starts playing really good ball, people in Denver aren't going to care. They're going to absolutely love this guy.
Let's go light it up tonight. Get Russell Wilson to cooking tonight. That might be the best thing for everybody involved. Zach, my man, do you have any predictions for us? Every spread I'm seeing is -3 or -3.5 for the Broncos.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty spot on. So if I was a betting man, I don't like that, just because I think it's going to be right around there. But one thing I do like is I do like the Broncos to win. I think it's going to be a slugfest. I've got 17-13 Broncos win, Brady, tomorrow. People are going to be happy about the win, but they're going to be concerned about how it happened.
Then the saga continues, even if there's a win, no matter what, man. Zach, my man, you are a busy dude. We just appreciate you anytime you can give us, man. Nobody better than what you're doing. And just keep up the great work. I'm going to be at the game tonight, so who knows? Might see you around. Probably not, but I'll look for you.
I love it, Brady. I love it. Would love to run into you.
All right, my man. Zach, great job. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
See you, Brady. Thank you.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Boy, a lot to unpack there. A lot to unpack on that side of it. Melvin Gordon's going to get the work. He's going to get a bulk of it, according to Zach. Latavius Murray probably won't see a whole heck of a lot of time, unless Gordon fumbles, like, within the first five carries. If he fumbles, bye-bye, Gordon. 25 minutes after the hour. We'll come back. We'll do the good, the bad, the ugly. I still have Kevin Lytle coming up in this hour. Jam-packed Thursday show. Because I got my Thursday night special. I'm doing my picks today. I'm going to do a half a show or whatever that is tomorrow. Angel's taking over around noonish or so. So we're going to have some fun there. That'll be a blast. So a lot to pack in. Short time to do it. UNC basketball coach Steve Smiley going to join me as well. Basketball season is upon us, too. We're getting dangerously close. So all that and more on the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll take a short break. And when we come back, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly from last night. We'll be right back.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.